Independent versus Whiteley, case number 81844. Just to let you know, the council can pull down their mask and while they're arguing, no problem. So with that, we'll ask the appellant how much time for rebuttal?
I'd like to reserve 5 minutes,
Your Honor. Okay, 5 minutes. All right. Whenever you're ready to start argument.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Matthew Rashbrook. Together with Robert Langford, I represent the appellant, the Nevada Independent. May it please the court, counsel. We are before the court this afternoon on an appeal from the denial of appellant's petition for a writ of mandamus, in which appellant sought to enforce its rights under the Nevada Public Records Act. This court has authored an extensive body of law in which it has analyzed and given effect to the words of the legislature in the Nevada Public Records Act, where the legislature states at NRS 239.001 that the purpose of the Public Records Act is to foster democratic principles, that therefore the provisions of the Public Records Act must be construed liberally to carry out that important purpose, and that any exemption or exception or balancing of interest which restricts access to public records must be construed narrowly. We ask the court to give effect to those words once again today and ask the court to overturn the decision of the district court and order production of the requested public records, a result which is consistent with this court's prior opinions on public records cases, analogous trade secret cases, and the weight of authority from various federal courts and state courts around the country on comparable cases. This case illustrates why the Public Records Act is so important and why it plays such a significant function in a healthy democracy. Short of the ballot box, the Public Records Act may very well be the most significant tool the public has to ensure the government it wants is the government it is actually getting, and to ensure that the actions the government has promised to take are in fact being taken. It is the method by which the public can keep its eye on the government and verify that it's getting what it's been promised. In 2017, the Nevada legislature passes SB 539. It's discussed extensively in all of the briefs. There's a lengthy legislative history, which ultimately results in the bill being passed by a wide majority with strong bipartisan support. In substantive part, SB 539 requires the department to create a list of essential drugs to treat diabetes and to collect certain information from pharmaceutical manufacturers, pharmacy benefit managers, and others who are involved in the trade of those drugs. The legislative record is replete with references from virtually every legislator in both houses who voted on these bills, voted in support of these bills, that the goal of this legislation was to create transparency in an otherwise opaque market, specifically because that opacity was preventing Nevadans from having any insight into why the price of insulin is escalating so rapidly.
Counsel?
By the
Counsel, Justice Kuglich, if I may, it's pretty clear that the Nevada Uniform Trade Secrets Act attempted to exempt these particular documents from trade secret protections. But how do we square that with the DTSA? And weren't the NACs in question an effort to kind of harmonize those concerns? I guess it'd be my question.
I think that, Justice, the way that we square that with the DTSA is when we look at the DTSA, what we have is a statute that is based substantially on the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. I think the relevant point for this case is that, contrary to the suggestion of respondents, the DTSA does not render anything confidential. So while the Nevada statute specifically exempts a certain category of things from trade secret status, where this court has explained previously that for a thing to be made confidential by law, as in the Nevada Public Records Act, this court has offered language in Haley and in Gibbons, which has said we're looking for an express, unequivocal, explicit declaration that a thing is made confidential by law. And when we look at trade secret cases from this jurisdiction, state Supreme Courts in Indiana, Ohio, Alabama, courts of appeal in Florida, California, a number of the circuit courts of appeal in the federal system, virtually uniformly, we see that these are inquiries of fact. They are not determined by law to be trade secrets. If they are trade secrets, they are rendered trade secrets by the conduct of the person claiming to be the owner of that material.
Well, then let's analyze that then. Have the owners of that material taken reasonable measures to keep them secret? And do they derive independent economic value?
I would suggest, Your Honor, that despite the appellant's protest to the contrary, insufficient evidence was placed before the district court to make that determination. Further, and pardon me, to respond to the latter part of your previous question, whether the administrative codes were designed to harmonize anything or not, I think is an inquiry into the intent behind them. Those administrative codes are not ambiguous, and therefore, I believe this court is charged with simply examining the language of the administrative codes, which very clearly simply requires the department to make a determination of whether they could face liability under the Defend Trade Secrets Act. That question has been answered by federal district courts in Maryland and in Massachusetts in the MedSense case and in the Fast Enterprises case, and the answer was quite unequivocally no. State respondents or other defendants similarly situated are not only immune from liability, they are immune from suit, whether under the Ex Parte Young doctrine or otherwise.
All right, proceed, counsel, sir.
Thank you. The legislature passes SB 539, and it's discussed pretty clearly on the record that the reason for that is to get hold of these astronomical increases in the price of insulin. And depending on the time frame you look at and the product that you look at, we may be talking about a threefold increase in 4 years or a fourfold increase in 6 years or a tenfold increase in 20 years. But suffice it to say that Americans are paying roughly 4 to 10 times what citizens of countries with comparable economies are paying. Perhaps most outrageously, Canadians are paying a fraction of what Americans are paying for insulin manufactured in the United States and trucked across the border. Statistics indicate that about 1 in 10 Nevadans have diabetes, and although not all of those people will use insulin, about 1 in 4 who use insulin cannot afford the amount of insulin their doctors have prescribed for them to take. So that's the backdrop where the Nevada legislature says, because of the opacity of this market and because gag rules are the standard in this industry, we have got to get some transparency in this market before we can have any hope of arresting the price or even of knowing why the price is accelerating so rapidly. The court is presented by respondents with basically three arguments that particular statutes or regulations render this material confidential as a matter of law, either the Defend Trade Secrets Act, the administrative codes, or the portion of the Nevada Trade Secrets Act, which was amended by SB 539. I've discussed briefly with Your Honor previously the administrative code. Your Honor mentioned the Nevada Trade Secrets section. When we look at the Defend Trade Secrets Act, it's important to remember that is based on the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. So when we have these cases from state courts, from circuit courts, which are substantially looking at the Uniform Trade Secrets Act, those cases, in our view, are quite informative of how the Defend Trade Secrets Act ought to be interpreted. And in addition, we have these cases from the federal district courts in Massachusetts and in Maryland, which are looking at strikingly similar facts where government actors are charged with conforming with, acting in conformity with their state public records acts. And the resounding answer from those courts is they cannot face liability, they cannot face suit. And so we would suggest to the court that in the absence of such a section which makes these records confidential,
counsel,
they must be produced.
Counsel, are these records trade secrets under the DTSA, in your opinion?
I don't believe there's any possible way I could know that.
Well,
and certainly they are not made records trade secrets by the DTSA. And I say I can't know that because I don't believe that sufficient evidence was placed before the district court to make that determination.
Okay.
Further, I would suggest that, pardon me, I realize I am running out of time.
Carry on.
What I would suggest is the weight of authority says that it's not the Trade Secrets Act that makes anything confidential. It's the conduct of the actor. And given that, even in the event that this court were to determine that this material is a trade secret, nonetheless, it would correctly order these records to be produced because respondents cannot satisfy the balancing test. They cannot possibly overwhelm the public's interest in production of these records when that interest is measured in terms of lives lost by the citizens of this state. If there are no further questions at this time, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Aki Levin, and I represent the respondents Richard Whitley and the Department of Health and Human Services. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for respondent Sanofi. The department properly withheld the records sought by the Nevada Independent because there are trade secrets under the Defend Trade Secrets Act, as the district court found. The Nevada Independent seeks confidential business information generated by private companies. This information was required to be reported to the department under the reporting statutes, but not required to be disclosed by those same statutes. The department also adopted valid regulations. They do not conflict with, but implement the reporting statutes, and they harmonize the policies of the reporting statutes with those of the Defend Trade Secret Act, which the department was not free to ignore, as well as those policies of the Nevada Public Records Act. And for those reasons, the department asked that the court affirm the decision below in its entirety. Starting with the Defend Trade Secret Act, Justice Stiglitz asked, are these trade secrets under the Defend Trade Secret Act? And the answer is yes. The Defend Trade Secret Act was enacted in 2016 and protects all trade secrets related to products sold in interstate commerce. There's no question, and the independent admits, that these are products, the essential diabetes drugs, are sold in interstate commerce. The DTSA, as the Ninth Circuit held in IntelliClear, broadly defines and declares as trade secrets all types of business, economic, and financial information if subject to reasonable efforts to maintain secret, and if the information derives independent economic value from not being generally known. The independent argues that, and it has made that argument below, that the Defend Trade Secret Act does not make anything confidential. But that interpretation would make the act illusory. Of course, by the nature, a trade secret, the statute could not possibly encompass every possible trade secret. So, and so in that respect, that construction should be rejected. In addition,
do you think that the DTSA can, preempts the NUTSA?
I would say, Justice Silver, I would say that if you look at the preemption clause of the DTSA, which is in 1838, it's a narrow one. that DTSA does not preempt or displace other remedies, and that's the key term there, remedies created by state law. But it does not say that state law trumps. So it is not as broad as the independent has argued in its briefing below. So and this brings us then under the authority of Kiwani Oil, the Supreme Court case, which says that if a state statute addresses a subject matter on which the federal government has also regulated, states are not free to ignore that federal policy, nor may states deny the benefits. And so here, the DTSA must be given effect. Now, the independent says, well, there was not enough evidence below. To be clear, the independent did not make pure legal arguments. It did not challenge the department's trade secret determination below. It did not ask for or contest the request for confidentiality that manufacturers submitted. It made the pure legal argument that, number one, the DTSA does not define anything as confidential, and number two, that even if it did, the Nevada Uniform Trade Secret Act would make all these records public information. And so this was a pure legal argument on behalf of the Nevada Independent. So when you talk about the balancing test, if you're looking at the balancing of the interest, the Nevada Independent argues that the Nevada Public Records Act fosters democratic principles. That's true. This court in the Reno Newspapers versus Gibbons case said it's to hold government accountable. We want to know what the government is doing. But here, importantly, at issue are not records generated by the government. At issue are records generated by private companies generated by them. And unlike, for example, in blackjack bonding, where private companies provided a public service where those records became fair game, here we do not have that. So the whole policy and the presumption that these records are open to the public is not present here, and that weighs against disclosure. The other factors that weigh against disclosure is that, as I stated before, the Department of Health and Human Services must give effect to the DTSA, which was enacted a year before. That policy of the DTSA is to protect, not to restrict, trade secrets. Another reason for that weighs against disclosure is that the disclosure to the public is not necessary nor required under the reporting statutes to further the policy. Transparency is a broad term, but when you look at these reporting statutes, they do not require the department to turn around and disclose to the public all the reports it receives. It's very specific in what it requires the department to do. It asks the department to compile a list of essential diabetes drug manufacturers, and then on that list, it has to identify which of those drugs underwent a significant price increase. The other statute, it's 439B650, it doesn't say that the department must publish the reports it receives from manufacturers and pharmacy benefit managers. It asks the department to compile the information and analyze it, and thereafter it is required to provide reasons in its report for the price increases and the effect of those prices. There's nothing in the reporting statutes that say that the department must, on a drug-by-drug, manufacturer-by-manufacturer basis, provide that information to the public. So that's another. And the fourth factor that weighs against disclosure is that we're not just dealing with a hypothetical concern of, as in Sheriff Haley, for example, but here the Director Whitley was sued in federal court by the pharmaceutical industry. And while it is true that the 11th Amendment prohibits suit against states and their agencies for in federal court. There is, of course, an exception under Ex parte Young that the court is well aware of that provides an exception for prospective injunctive relief against state officials for continuing violations of federal law. So we're not dealing with a hypothetical concern. We're dealing with a real concern. And finally, of course, if the once the trade secret is disclosed, it's gone. Not just here in Nevada, the trade secret is then fair game in the entire country. Again, that goes against what the Defend Trade Secret was intended to do. So for those reasons, the department properly withheld these records, and the court should affirm that part of the decision, as well as the regulations. And I can turn, unless you have any questions, I'll move to the regulations.
I believe you can go ahead.
Okay, so the regulations are presumed to be valid under NRS 233B090 and are also entitled to deference if adopted pursuant to the department's valid authority to do so under statute. Here we have a broad enabling statute. It's NRS 439B685. It provides that the department must adopt all regulations necessary or advisable and without limitation. So it's broad language, without limitation, regulations, for example, on the form and manner in which the manufacturers and the pharmacy benefit managers must report to the department. There is no separation of powers issue, as the independent argue, because the regulations do not conflict with the reporting statute. The regulations do not change any of the reporting obligations or the disclosure obligations of the department. They're consistent with the reporting statutes. Also, the NRS 600A.035B, it is in some respect limited. While it does exclude trade secret protection for the information that must be reported to the department, it does not eliminate trade secret protection for all information, only that information that is required to be disclosed. That's the terms that Uniform Trade Secret Act uses. So in that respect, there is no conflict either in the regulations. The independent also never argued below or on appeal that the regulations are invalid. It only argued that if they are invalid, they should be invalidated. So it never explained how and why and what way they conflict, and it couldn't. The Nevada regulations also do not conflict with the Nevada Public Records Act. The Nevada Public Records Act has an exception for records that are otherwise declared by law to be confidential. In a recent, fairly recent opinion of the Supreme Court in Food Marketing versus Arcus Media, it's a 2019 case. The site is 139 Supreme Court. And if you, now I'm lost with the site, complete site. But in that case, the court said that, and it was construing a FOIA case. And in that case, the court said the exceptions to FOIA are as much part of FOIA as the disclosure requirements. The same principles apply here. The Nevada Public Records Act has a policy of disclosing documents to the public, but the exemptions and the exceptions are as much as a part of it as the general rule, so to speak. And so all that the Nevada regulations do is provide for a verification process. And so they're not foreclosing a public records request. They just make sure that they're harmonizing the policies of the Defend Trade Secret Act with those of the reporting statutes, as well as the Nevada Public Records Act. So for those reasons, we asked the court to affirm the order below in its entirety. And unless the court has more questions, I'll... Well...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bailey.
May it please the court, John Bailey from Bailey Kennedy on behalf of Respondent Sanofi. I just want to emphasize one point, and the point goes to the enactment of SB 539. And what you hear the appellant's principal argument is, at least in their brief, is that the Nevada legislature never intended, through this concept of transparency, never intended for reports and information provided by pharmaceutical manufacturers and PBMs to have any type of confidentiality or trade secret protection with respect to that information. And that's their principal argument, is that the Nevada legislature never intended that to occur, and therefore the regulations that the department enacted are unconstitutional and they can't be relied upon and should be invalidated. That's the principal argument they make in their brief. And what I want to do is just point you very quickly to Volume 3 of the Joint Appendix, pages 676 through 692. And what that is the joint status report that was submitted in the federal case on June the 28th, 2018. And what's important about that is that the parties to that case included the governor, the department, and the Nevada legislature. And if you point to or you look to lines 11 through 21 of page 678, you will very clearly see that the Nevada legislature, as one of the parties in the case, agreed that it was their intent to protect information such as trade secrets to be confidential, and that the regulations that were enacted a month before the joint status report were indeed valid and consistent with the legislature's intent. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear a rebuttal.
Your Honors, on the subject of preemption under the Defend Trade Secrets Act, it's suggested that the preemption clause is so narrow that they're in the Defend Trade Secrets Act that the suggestion, therefore, that there is preemption to the extent needed. What I would suggest is the courts who have considered this argument in the federal cases, who have examined the congressional record, have said the Defend Trade Secrets Act quite clearly simply creates a federal forum for parties to seek redress for misappropriation of trade secrets. It did not have as its purpose displacing state trade secret law, and it specifically does not prevent states from their otherwise lawful activities. This is why in the Fast Enterprises and in the MedSense cases, the federal courts found that those state government actors correctly complied with their public records acts and were not subject to liability or suit. Further, there was a suggestion from respondents that the independent had failed to argue the common law aspect, had made strictly legal arguments, and had not put evidence before the district court. What I would suggest to the court is that is burden shifting. The body of law in the Nevada Public Records Act and from this court makes it absolutely clear that the burden rests on the government entity seeking to deny disclosure to satisfy the burden of proof. The independent has no obligation to put evidence before the district court. It is the government's obligation to satisfy the preponderance required in this court's precedent.
Well, what do you make of Mr. Bailey's argument? What do you make of Mr. Bailey's argument then that because the legislature was involved in the federal court proceedings. And your argument is these statutes are there for transparency, and clearly we know from the other case that the legislature was involved.
What I would point out is in Nevada we have a part-time citizen legislature, and the entirety of that federal case took place while the legislature was not in session. What Mr. Bailey refers to are statements of counsel. They're documents drafted with opposing party lawyers, and there's no need to look at those statements in any case because these statutes are not ambiguous. They're very clear. Further, and in any case, if the court wants to look at the legislative intent, the far better source of evidence are the individual statements of these legislators on the record during the legislative debate over these statutes.
Justice Stiglitz, I'm sorry to cut you off. Did you have a question?
I'm sorry. So, counsel, you stated that it's essentially here the government's burden to show why this should be done. They did provide evidence and arguments. The court agreed with them. So why should we overturn the district court? Why shouldn't we affirm this?
The district court found that these materials were made confidential by law. The state respondents in the court below did not put any evidence before the district court, notwithstanding the independence protests. We invited evidence at every step of the way. We noticed James Borneman, the affiant that swore the affidavit submitted by Sanofi. We attempted to cross-examine that person. We argued at every step of the way that the government bore the burden of proof. It was the respondents in the court below who insisted that these were strictly legal questions, that no evidence was necessary because these records were made confidential by law. And I would connect that to counsel's argument previously, the suggestion being that the independent had failed to challenge the requests for confidentiality. We have no obligation to do that. And in any case, the petition must be understood broadly as a challenge to all of these designations of confidentiality. This court's body of law has stated countless times that the correct way for a party to seek redress for a failure to fulfill a public records request is to petition the district court. That's what we did. We challenged these designations. They are not made confidential by law.
Thank you so much for your argument. Your time is up. We appreciate both sides' arguments in this case, and it's great to see everyone in person. So having said that, the case is going to stand submitted at this time. And.